2 Samuel chapter 17. Father, bless the reading, preaching, and the proclamation of your word, that Christ would receive the glory for he is worthy. He is so worthy. And may we adore him today. In his name we pray. Amen. We continue our series through 2 Samuel. I'm going to just read, talk. I don't want to read all of this and then make us work our way back through it. Listen to this. The kingdom is coming. Regardless, I won't say irregardless, but regardless of every effort of wicked men, the kingdom is coming. The kingdom of the one true king can never be destroyed, no matter who stands against it. And you need to get that for the thought this afternoon. The kingdom of the one true king can never be destroyed, regardless of who rises against it. 2 Samuel chapter 17. In fact, I want to read the last verse of the previous chapter just so we get our minds back around the trust that was extended to Ahithophel. So really 16:23, in the counsel of Ahithophel, which he counseled in those days, was as if a man had inquired at the oracle of God. So was all the counsel of Ahithophel, both with David and with Absalom. Moreover, Ahithophel said unto Absalom, let me now choose out 12,000 men, and I will arise and pursue after David tonight, this night. And I will come upon him while he is weary and weak-handed, and will make him afraid, and all the people that are with him shall flee, and I will smite the king only. And I will bring back all the people unto thee. The man whom thou seekest is as if all returned. So all the people shall be in peace. And the saying pleased Absalom well and all the elders of Israel. This afternoon I want to give some thought to counseling the counterfeit king. Counseling the counterfeit king. The anger and bitterness of Ahithophel is on full display in this chapter. He, last week as we studied, he gave to Absalom his immoral counsel. And today he is giving to Absalom his military counsel. Is that feedback? Is it just me or is there some aggravating feedback? Okay. Well, we may need to turn that mic off. It might be what it is. It's catching me twice. But anyway, sorry for the interruption. But thank you. Having to hear me once is bad enough, let alone twice. So Ahithophel, remember, he's bitter, he's angry, he's mad. He wants David dead. So the first thing we'll notice out of these first few verses is the counsel of Ahithophel. The counsel of Ahithophel. And his desire is he wants David dead. Again, best case I suppose that we can surmise is what David had done with Ahithophel's granddaughter, Ahithophel just never got over. That's really, I guess, the only thing that I can think of, unless there's some spiritual prompt in the unseen world, Satan stirring the heart of Ahithophel against David. Perhaps that takes place as well. But the counsel of Ahithophel, as he counsels Absalom, and Absalom is the counterfeit king, he's not the true king. His counsel is, verse 1, let me get 12,000 men. Let me get a little small army together. We can move quickly, and we'll go kill David tonight, right now. And it is almost as if, as the narrative unfolds, remember, David and his band leave Jerusalem, and as they're leaving Jerusalem, there comes Absalom and his followers into Jerusalem. And then there's this counsel that Ahithophel gives to that Absalom would commit this sexual sin with David's concubines, which probably unfolds over the next few days or weeks. But that night, it seems as though that very night that David has fled and that Absalom and his renegade army have come in is when Ahithophel says, "Let me have him. Let me have him tonight. I will kill David tonight." And in fact, he has this plan where he says, and I will, you know, verse number 2, they're weak, they're tired, they're weary on their journey, will come upon them unexpected. And really what he says in verse number 2, if I can help you with that, verse 2 is he's just saying, we'll kill David only. We won't kill anybody else. We'll just kill David, bring him back. And when we return in peace, from verse number 3, and when I bring back unto thee the man whom you see, when we come back with everybody except David, then there will be peace in the kingdom. So Ahithophel is saying to Absalom, hey, let me after David. I'll kill him. We won't kill anybody else. Just let me kill David. And then we'll bring everybody else back. And then the whole kingdom will be yours. We'll wrap this thing up, put a bow tie on it tonight. The kingdom can be yours without question tonight. And Absalom and the other leaders that are now with him are pleased at his counsel. Now the truth is, if you'll stop and muse on this, is it probably would have worked. Ahithophel's counsel probably would have worked. Now we're speaking in the speculative right now. But I mean, it is unlikely that David's limited number of men, though mighty men, would have been able to fend off 12,000 of Israel's elite soldiers. They were tired from their journey. They had been, you know, scattered, unprepared, and with Ahithophel having the element of surprise, superior numbers, yes, his design probably would have succeeded. But, verse 5, then said Absalom, now call Hushiah the Archite also, and let us hear what he says. So Absalom says, I need a second opinion. Here's what Ahithophel has counseled. Let's get a second opinion on that. And in verses 6 through 13, there's the counsel of Ahithophel. The counsel of Hushiah. We've heard the counsel of Ahithophel. Now we will hear the counsel of Hushiah. And let's read together verses 6 through 13. And when Hushiah was come to Absalom, Absalom spake unto him, saying, Ahithophel has spoken after this manner. He said, here's his advice. What shall we do after his saying, if not speak thou? And Hushiah said unto Absalom, the counsel that Ahithophel hath given is not good at this time. Pretty clever little words there that Hushiah is using. His counsel is not good right now. Right now it's not the best idea. And verse 8, for, said Hushiah, thou knowest thy father and his men, that they be mighty men, and they be chafed in their minds as a bear robbed of her whelps in the field. And thy father is a man of war, and will not lodge with the people. Behold, he is hid now in some pit or in some other place. And it will come to pass, when some of them be overthrown at the first, in other words, when some of our soldiers are killed, that whosoever heareth it will say, there is a slaughter among the people that follow Absalom. And he also that is valiant, whose heart is as the heart of a lion, shall utterly melt. For all Israel knoweth that thy father is a mighty man, and they which be with him are valiant men. Therefore, I counsel that all Israel be generally gathered unto thee, from Dan even to Beersheba, as the sand that is by the sea for multitude, and that thou go to battle in thine own person. So shall we come upon him in some place where he shall be found, and we will light upon him as the dew falleth on the ground. And of him and of all the men that are with him, there shall not be left so much as one. Moreover, if he be gotten into a city, Then shall all Israel bring ropes to that city, and we will draw it into the river. And there'll be not one small stone found there, till there not be one small stone found there. So the council of Ahithophel. So, I'm sorry, council of Ahithophel was, let's go tonight. Now the council of Hushaiah is, no, that's not a good idea. Absalom, and you might ask, now, what would prompt him to do this? What would he go? We just read at the close of chapter 16 that the council of Ahithophel was as one had gone to the oracle of God. So what is it that prompts him to call for a second opinion? We'll find out more about that in just a moment. But the king, counterfeit king, says to Hushaiah, here is what Ahithophel has suggested. What say ye? Is his plan a good plan or not? And I want you to note how very clever, how very wise, how very crafty Hushaiah is in his response. Close of verse 7. His advice is not good, not at this time. That's just not the best thing to do right now. Sort of gingerly, if you will, undermining the counsel of Ahithophel. There is, I want you to get this. Hushaiah is doing three things. He's doing three things in the counsel he gives. Number one, he is buying time for David and his men to escape and or prepare. He is buying time. Hushaiah is very intentional. That's why he's saying, no man, not tonight. Hushaiah, again, he is siding with David. I know these names are hard. You ought to be up here trying to say them. Those names are hard trying to keep them all straight. But I need to get my board back. If you get your board back, maybe it'll help. If you go back to chapter 15, verse 34, when David is fleeing, Hushaiah comes in verse 34, 15:34. If you return to the city, you say in Absalom, I'll be your servant, O king, as I've been my father's servant, I will be your servant. Then mayest thou for me defeat the council of Ahithophel. So Hushaiah has returned at David's request to be an inside man, to try and undermine the council of Ahithophel. And that's exactly what he's doing. He's doing three things. Number one, he's buying time for David and his men to escape and or prepare for battle. Number two, in the advice he gives, the counsel he gives the counterfeit king, Hushaiah is appealing to Absalom's vanity. Appealing to his vanity. And then number three, and really most importantly, Hushaiah is being used by God to preserve the kingdom of David. Being used by God to preserve the kingdom of the anointed king, not the counterfeit king, but God's chosen king. So Hushaiah says something like this. Listen, fellas, the last thing we need to do is to go after David right now. That's the last thing we need to do. David's men will be ready, and they are bullying mad. They've been embarrassed. They've been run out of town. Hushaiah compares them to a mama bear who can't find her cubs. We still use that expression today, do we not? Don't come between a mama bear and her cubs. And so Hushaiah is saying, David and his men are hot. They're mad. They are mighty men, but they are like this mother bear. And you don't want to fool with them. You don't want to stir them up. And then in the close of verse number 8, Hushaiah says, you're not going to find David anyway. Even if we lie down after him tonight, you're not going to find him. He'll be hiding somewhere. He'll be in a cave. He'll be in a foxhole. You won't find him, and his people are not going to give him up. Now, if you'll remember, David spent nearly a decade of his life running and hiding from King Saul. So he was well equipped, practiced, whatever language you want to use, at finding safe places to go and hide. And Hushaiah, I mean, there's some wisdom and truth in what he's saying here. Yes, he's buying time for David and his men, but
Yeah, I mean, it would have been difficult. I think that they got on about it. They could have done it, but that's just my opinion on the thing. Furthermore, Hushai says, if we go after him tonight, when a few of our guys get killed, and, you know, in battle, there's going to be some people fall. Verse 9, verse 10, when a few of our guys get killed, everybody on our side will freak out and just surrender. And we can't have that. We can't run the risk of that. In other words, Hushai is saying is, Absalom, we just got the kingdom. And there's no way that we can risk this plan of Ahithophel. David and his men are great warriors. They're elite warriors. And Ahithophel's plan is a risky plan. As soon as we get out on the battlefield, a few of our guys get killed, the whole tide will turn. The tide will turn. And next thing you know, you'll be the one running out of Jerusalem tonight, and David will be back. And so he says there's a better way. Verse number 11, therefore, now he has already now, he's bought time for David. And I think that's what a lot of that is. But now, he's going to appeal to Absalom's vanity. Therefore, I counsel that all Israel be gathered together from Dan to Beersheba. And that's just another way of saying all the way from the north to the south. Let's amass a vast army as the sand that is by the sea for multitude. We're going to get everybody. We're going to get the whole army in on this thing. Again, buying time. But notice this, close of verse number 11, and that thou go into battle in thine own person. So he said we need to get the army, the whole army, vast multitude together. But now he appeals, and get this, he is appealing to Absalom's incredibly prideful nature. The pretentious prince is what I started to call him. The pretentious prince. You remember going back a few chapters and he told us about Absalom, how tall, dark, and handsome he was. And how he would shave his hair every year to have it weighed. He was so full of vanity, arrogance, and pride. He was, you know, handsome and all, you know, people swooned over him. He stole the kingdom from his father. And now Hushai says, hey man, wouldn't it be great if you put on your shiny armor with your long hair and got out on front of you and got on your horse and got out in front of the army and you lead the battle to kill your father. And he is appealing to Absalom's vanity. And it works. It through and through works. Man, you're going to look so handsome with the sunlight reflecting off of your shiny armor, sword in your hand, on the back of a brave horse. All the men will admire you and we will be invincible. Verse 12, he says, man, he said, we're not going to fool around. We're just trying to kill David. We'll kill all of David's people. We'll come upon them. We'll light upon them as the dew falls upon the ground. We'll be all over them like ugly on a monkey or whatever adjective you want to come up with. And of him, notice verse 12, and the men that are with him, there won't be nobody left. We'll crush them, annihilate them. And in verse 13, Hushai is like, I mean, he poured it on, pour it on. And he says, I don't even care if David goes to some city and hides behind the walls, we'll just rip the walls down. And all of that is appealing, again, to Absalom's vanity. We'll drag down every stone and we'll show everyone just how mighty you are. What a wonderful king and warrior you are. And then it works. It works. Verse 14. And Absalom and all the men of Israel said, the counsel of Hushaiah, the archite, is better than the counsel of Ahithophel. Remember what David's plan was, chapter 15, verse 34? David said, hey man, I need you to stay in town so you can undermine the counsel of Ahithophel. And David's plan works. It works to a T. Absalom and the leaders of the, I want to call them the leaders of the nation, but they're just those that have usurped the nation from David. They side with the counsel of Hushaiah. But why? Why does David's plan work? Why do they side with Hushaiah instead of the well-respected Ahithophel? And the answer is given in the second half of verse 14. And if you are someone who underlines things in your Bibles, the second half of this verse is a powerfully rich verse. Here's why David's plan worked. For the Lord, who's in charge of this thing? For the Lord hath appointed to defeat the good counsel. You see? The good counsel. It was good advice. The Lord had appointed to defeat the good counsel of Ahithophel to the intent that the Lord might bring evil upon Absalom. In other words, no one, and I don't care who they are, can stand against the one true king in his kingdom. None. I don't care who or what they scheme, what they devise, what they plan. If you stand against the Lord, you're on the losing side. I'm going to turn over here and read it to you. I can probably quote it, but I don't want to misquote it. So let me just turn over here and make sure I read it right. Why was it that Absalom listened to the counsel of Hushaiah and not the experienced, long-time, trusted counsel of Ahithophel? The answer is Proverbs 21, verse 1. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. As the rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever he will. In other words, God is the absolute sovereign over a counterfeit king like Absalom. And he can turn the heart of Absalom just like he can turn the rivers of water to go this way or that way. He did it to Pharaoh. God did it to Pharaoh of Egypt. And now he has done it to a counterfeit king named Absalom. The reason that David's plan worked was the decree of God. You had the counsel of Ahithophel. You had the counsel of Hushaiah. But it all falls under the decree of God. Wicked men, like Absalom, can try to overthrow the kingdom of the one true king, but none will ever succeed against God. Wicked counsel, like Ahithophel, can scheme and plot to destroy the Lord's anointed, but they will all fail. Because God has decreed that the kingdom of David would be sure and certain. But more than that, that the kingdom of Christ would be sure and certain. And there have been how many men throughout history that have risen up and sought to destroy the kingdom of Christ, and it still stands. You remember Haman, the Jew hater? You remember Hitler? Absalom? Ahithophel? What about in the spiritual world? Satan and all of his wicked minions have all risen up in an effort to destroy the true kingdom of Christ. and none have prevailed. None have and none ever will. The kingdom is coming. We can sing that with absolute certainty. The earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters that cover the sea. Let them all rise up. Let them all give their counsel. Let them all scheme together and they will all come to naught. I am going to ask you to turn and read this with me. Psalms chapter number 2. And believe me when I say, I could preach right here a long time. Psalms chapter 2. Psalms 2, notice this. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings, how about counterfeit kings? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. Now here is the united armies and counselors of men gathering together to dethrone God and His anointed king. How does God respond? Is God in heaven wringing His hands, worried about the counsels of men? Is God anxious about what Ahithophel's and Satan's and Absalom's may do to dethrone the king? Is He worried about that? Verse 4, he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. I like what H.B. Charles said. He said, right? He said, when God laughs, it's not funny. Because God is not laughing with you. He is laughing at you. Tell me that won't preach. And that's how God, when men counsel together, I don't care if it's Hitler or Haman or Absalom or Ahithophel, Satan and his minions and the Hitlers, where they all devise together to destroy the kingdom of Christ, God sits in the heaven and laughs. He is not intimidated in the least. The Lord's decree is that of the kingdom. Luke chapter 1, 32, verse 32 and 33. The kingdom of Christ will be forever. Forever. It cannot be overrun or overcome. Verse 5. I'm going to read all of Psalms 2 if you still have your place there. Then shall He speak unto them in His wrath and vex them in His sore displeasure. Yet, even though they've counseled, even though they've commune together. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, thou art my son. This day I have begotten thee. Ask of me. This is almost like here's a conversation. We're clued in on a conversation between father and son. Father says, ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost, parts of the earth for thy possession. Here's what will happen to all that rise against the kingdom of Christ. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son. See that? Capital S in that verse. Kiss the Son. That is, bow the knee to King Jesus, lest He be angry and ye perish from the way when His wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are they that put their trust in Him. Very quickly, very easily do we learn that God is not intimidated by the counsels of men, by all their schemes, by all their plans. They can line up every nuclear weapon they have and shoot them towards heaven, and God just will laugh. He'll just laugh. So we find here God's decree. God's decree was that His Son would come to this earth, born of the lineage of David, live a perfect life, die a vicarious death, be buried and rise again, ascend back up to the throne. And one of these days he'll come back and sit literally on the throne of David in Jerusalem. And there's nothing on earth that anyone can scheme or war or battle or plan to stop it. It's coming. The kingdom is coming. But then that leads, fourthly and finally, to what I'm calling a weak spy network. A weak spy network. Verse 15, then Hushaya. Now you get all these names right, you will have done something. Remember, these two guys here, the priests, they're also on the side of David, the anointed king. Then Hushaya said unto Zadok and Abiathar the priest, thus and thus did Ahithophel counsel Absalom and the elders of Israel, and thus have I counseled. In other words, here's this spy network. Hushaya is telling Zadok and Abiathar, here's what Ahithophel said, here's what I said. Count, the king has said he's going to go with me, but he may change his mind, so we need to give David warning. Verse 16, now therefore send quickly and tell David, saying, lodge not this night in the plains of the wilderness, but speedily pass over, lest the king be swallowed up and all the people that are with him. He said he's going to go with my plan. He's not going to go with the Ahithophel's plan, but we need to be sure. You tell David to make haste and get gone. He's concerned that Ahithophel's plan was actually a good one. You understand that? In verse 17, now Jonathan and Ahimaaz stayed by Enrogel, for they might not be seen to come into the city. And a wench went and told them, and they went and told King David. Now, I'm going to just bring that up just a little bit. I don't mean to laugh, but it's just so mean to call somebody a wench. But it's old English. And this, the word just means a young maiden, a handmaiden. And in fact, that's how it's most often translated in our Old Testament. Let me clear this up for you, okay? Hushaya, the king's counselor, tells Zadok and Abiathar, the priest. The priest go tell a little girl. And the little girl goes to tell Jonathan and Ahimaaz, and they tell David. That's why I called it a weak spy network. Because there's a lot of links in that chain, and any of them could fall apart. But what happens is they get caught. It comes to find out that they are caught trying to pass this information on. Jonathan and Ahimaaz are caught trying to pass this information on to David. So they have to take off running and hide. Verse 18. Nevertheless, a lad saw them. Someone saw them and told Absalom. But they went, both of them, away quickly, these two men, and came to a man's house in Bahurim, which had a well in his court. Out in his yard, there was a well, what we would call a front yard, a courtyard, whither they went down. They went and hid down inside the well, and the woman, the man's wife, took and spread a garment or a covering over the well's mouth and spread ground corn. Weed or something, spread it on there, some grain of some kind, and the thing was not known to hide them or to cover them. So this family was loyal to David in this plan. In verse 20, when Absalom's servants came to the woman to the house, they're in hot pursuit of these two men. They don't want David to find word of what's going on. They said, Where is Ahimaaz and Jonathan? The woman said unto them, they be gone over the brook. She lies, but nonetheless, just to promote lie. They be gone over the brook of water. And when they had sought and could not find them, they returned to Jerusalem. So these men are searching after these two spies of David and can't find them. She sends them in the wrong direction. They're hiding down in the well. This stuff movies are made of, right? And it came to pass after they were departed that they came up out of the well and went and told King David, and said unto David, arise and pass quickly over the water, for thus hath Ahithophel counseled against you. Again, he's betraying the king. Then David arose, and all the people that were with him, they passed over Jordan by the morning light. There lacked not one of them that was not gone over Jordan. So even in this, you can see the human weakness of this little spy network that is hanging, as it were, by a spider's thread. The men who are gone to warn David are hiding in a well with soldiers standing over top of them. The only thing that's protecting them is a blanket and a woman's, I'm trying not to be mean, and a lie woman told to cover them, to protect. And again, I think God in his great wisdom is quite wise enough to know whether we're lying because we're liars trying to deceive, or we're trying to prevent death and promote life. But even in that, God overruled and protected the kingdom of the anointed king. Now, I'm closing. I'm done. But here's what I want from you. One, I want you to realize nothing and no one, let me read this again, the kingdom of the true king can never be destroyed regardless of who stands against it. Remember that. These men standing against it, they will fail. All who tried to withstand or will ever try to withstand or stand against the kingdom of Christ will fail. Remember that. Secondly, I want to ask you to do something with me. I want you to pray for me this week, because I intend to take the next verse, verse 23, and look at it from a topical standpoint next Sunday afternoon. Next Sunday afternoon, verse 23, we'll deal with suicide. The suicide of Ahithophel. We're going to talk about that. What the Bible says and doesn't say, so on and so forth. But when you commit yourself to sequential exposition, which is long term for preaching verse by verse through books, you come across subjects like this one, and it's an uncomfortable subject. But we're going to take advantage of the text getting us there and talk about that subject. So I hope that you have a good afternoon. Lord bless you. I love you.